I'm so glad you said that, because as you were talking about that, I thought, you know what? This is a great beer to have in the morning.
Yeah.
This is
waffle, Belgian waffles with syrup and salty, meaty bacon on the side.
Pints and Pairings is brought to you in part by We're Driving and The Beer Cave. Learn more about our sponsors at hopheadshead.com/pintsandpairings.
Hello, and welcome back to Pints and Pairings. I'm Curtis Taylor, also known as Hophead Said.
And I'm Jason Hendrick from Everybody's Hungry. We are continuing our one-year anniversary celebration.
Is that what we're doing?
That's what we're going down this beautiful flight of beers, but the reason we brought these beers together is to say we've turned one. We are not quite to our terrible twos. Let's deal with the first year as it came.
Right, we have had we haven't had as much sleep as we should have over this past year. When we started throwing tantrums in year number two, when we started getting
too big for our britches.
Right, yeah, when we started throwing baby tantrums, then you know we've hit our terrible twos. Before we get started, I want to give a big shout out to all of our sponsors, and of course we've got a bunch of them that you've heard about all over the place. Lab 805, our fancy on-air sign, letting everyone else in the Barrel House 101 dining room know that we're broadcasting live back here. Food Share Ventura County, which is, you know, your primary sponsor on a bunch of a lot of stuff. That I mean,
yeah, we like to carry their brand through, because as a community organization and all about educating and creating improvement to a lot of people's lives through food donation and through self-reliance, it kind of goes along with what we strive to do here on the phone, the show, and that's, yeah, I almost said on the phone, what we do on the show,
in terms of
educating the populace and trying to bring our passion to the forefront.
Well, Food Share provides meals for 75,000 families in Ventura County
per
alone.
Month.
That's crazy. That's insane. So, make sure that you follow Jason, Everybody's Hungry, find out what he's doing next with Food Share. The Beer Cave, I mean, when we're at the Lauderton Studios back in my garage, that is...
Don't ever say that.
They provide the beer for us, and they're always happy to see me when I go in, too, so it's really great. You can find them at 231 Village Commons Boulevard. That's in Camarillo, California,
and
right
Facebook,
off the freeway.
At Village...
Facebook.
Market,
there we go. Village
Deli.
Commons Market and Deli. There we go. Very good, Jason. And, of course, We're Driving. That's my designated driving service to get me home after these... They have, on occasion, gotten you home as
they
well.
They have.
They've driven you home.
Their cars go both ways.
It's perfect kind of deal where they get in your car and drive you and your car home. So when you get up in the morning and have to go to work and you're hungover, your car is out in front. It's perfect, I guess. And then, of course, Barrel House 101. That's where we're at, broadcasting from this evening. And, you know, Joby always is so welcoming to us when we come in here and just kind of take over his
especially
his
knowing
his
that
space.
We act the fool typically, but it is a premier tap house here in Ventura, located right off the California street exit in the heart of Ventura.
If you're going north, it can't be easier to get to. It's two turns.
Exactly.
It's a right
and then a left,
and then you're in the parking lot. Right, so it's so great. So we've got this beautiful flight of beers. We just got done with the Pilsner. We're going to be hitting the Porter. We've got a Belgian strong, Golden Strong Ale, and then we've also got a double IPA. I mean, we've got a set of flights here, some iconic beer styles that have played a huge role in just the development of beer culture, beer flavors in the last 10, 15 years, certainly.
And the second beer that we're getting ready to taste in this celebration is the Uinta Sea Legs Baltic Porter out of their Crooked line. And it may seem a little odd. As you mentioned, we got the Pilsner, then the Porter, and then the Belgian and the double IPA. And some people think, why wouldn't you put the Porter near the end? And there's two reasons that we put this where we did. One is because it's a delicious beer. Well, three reasons. One, it's a delicious beer, and I wanted to drink it right away. Two, it actually is cleansed very nicely by the following Belgian. So the profile and the flavors you're going to get are really, they're fairly intense. There's some, you know, great notes that we're going to talk about in terms of its richness and, the chocolate and whatnot. But the following beer helps cleanse that away and still holds its own. And the double IPA, in terms of style, has to go at the end. The hot presence of that thing, we'll get into it in the double IPA show, but that thing is going to just really cover up anything else that would come after it. So,
and you've hit on something really important, too, that I want to make sure that people understand as you kind of went over the top of it. But the way that we're thinking about these beers, we talked about this rule of thumb, matching intensities with the beer and the food, and somehow that's a good rule of thumb, but you know they need to be broken every once in a while. Just because a beer is dark doesn't mean that it can't be the first beer that you drink in a flight, or it can't be in the middle. And because we sat down and we picked these beers out with some thought on how we were going to taste these and how people who ordered this flight at Barrel House 101 tonight are going to enjoy this flight, it takes you down a path. And those are things to be cognizant of if you're going to do something like this at home.
Sure.
That you want to make sure that you've tasted all the beers beforehand.
And we actually kicked a beer out of the lineup as of yesterday when we were tasting through. There's a beer that's really delicious by itself, but it didn't hold up in the lineup. It didn't really have the backbone and the flavor complexity to fit anywhere in between the other beers. And that's how the Belgian came into play. But again, talking about the porter, especially with food, as you know, pints and pairings, the pairings aspect of what we talk about, if you have a dish that is begging for a porter, but yet, you know, you want to open with it as maybe an appetizer or something, there's nothing wrong with doing that. It's about what comes after it and how you leverage it with the pairing. And that's why, as you said, it's a great idea to taste them up front, kind of figure out it. The roller coaster may go up and down a little bit. That's okay, as long as it still flows well and you enjoy the journey you've been on.
Right, and you mentioned that this is a Baltic Porter, and I want to let people know that Baltic Porter runs along the same line as Russian Imperial Stout. What Russian Imperial means to stouts, Baltic Porter means to porters.
It's definitely the high end of the range.
It is. This doesn't have a lot of. I shouldn't say that. It has the roasty flavors and it has all of these other flavors you would expect from a porter, but there is a malt sweetness backbone to this that smooths everything out.
It's so delicious.
And so as a style, as these giant imperial beers that we have, that this is, you know, we could have easily picked a brown porter. We could have easily picked just one that would have been really light body, a crisp sort of almost burnt flavor to it. But when it comes to my favorite of the porter lineup, this one is certainly it.
And again, you said the comparison in terms of its category to itself is very similar to what Russian Imperial is to the stout. This is borderline a stout. I mean, for me, the flavor you're getting out of there, there's some awesome little buttery vanilla aspects. It's an intense, roasty chocolate, dark chocolate component. But there's also this really beautiful, like, dried fig, deep, rich fruit that comes out after it sits and warms up a little bit and softens.
I'm not even sure where to start with this beer. You know, unfortunately, I just looked at, I don't know if it's unfortunate, but I just looked at Anastasia's pairing for this tonight, and it's going to be a s'more, and that's all I can think of now is just is marshmallow goodness.
Well, I'm glad you said beer. That, though, because that came out during our discussion yesterday. One big whiff and a little simple taste, my first thought was not just s'more, because there's a certain light, fluffy sweetness to that, but burnt s'more. That moment where you held it in the fire for a little bit too long, and you realize, oh, shit, it's burning, and you blow it out, and you're like, I'm going to eat it anyway. There's some delicious goodness in the middle. You bite in, and you get that really kind of charred roastiness, and then the sweetness comes through. But you can still smell and remember that it was a marshmallow. That was so prominent for me yesterday.
Kudos to you for eating your marshmallow.
Oh,
that
God.
Is.
You now, just got to break through the crust and get to the gooiness.
I pull that off, throw it in, and I just start with the warmed up, fresh.
You don't know
innards.
What you're missing, my friend.
No, I do. I do. I prefer the toasted caramel notes to it myself. But one of the other flavors that I was kind of picking out was there's this really subtle black licorice flavor, too.
Yeah, I get it less on the palate and more on the aroma for me.
And so it's a bit of both for me. It's more as I'm exhaling after it's been sitting, the aftertaste, and it's kind of, I don't know, making its last impression. It, that all of a sudden I'm thinking, I can't even think of
maybe Good and Plenty's minus the candy coating.
Well, that, but I'm also thinking of a German cookie kind of thing, cake called Lebkuchen, which has it's ginger, but then they also have some that have jelly fillings. And some of those jelly fillings have a really dark sort of anise sort of flavor to them. And so, I mean, it's not a stretch to think that you could be eating a German cookie dessert and drinking a Baltic porter. I mean, regionally or geographically, well, I mean, we're not getting too far apart.
I think to really expand on that flavor then, something you could do is, especially right now while it's summer and grilling season, take some fresh fennel. And a little bit of olive oil, put it on the grill. That charred, you know, the charred edges of the fennel and the juice that's going to start to really come out of that fennel as it grills is going to really heighten the black licorice aspect. It's going to be just enough of that anise. And again, a great smoky grill is going to add the notes that you're getting off of the base roasty aspects of the beer in the glass right now.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I was thinking along, you know, as soon as you said fennel, then I was trying to think of a salad component that I could do with this too. And somewhere along the line, I mean, if you didn't want to grill this, a little bit of blue cheese, a little cranberry as well in there, you know, some dried craisin kind of things.
I like where you went with that, because the other grilled thing that the creaminess, there's a lot of roastiness in here, and the creaminess is missing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That blue cheese, I'm still getting some of that chocolate coming off my palate. That blue cheese idea that you have could really work well, especially if you did it like on grilled radicchio.
Mm.
So again, let that blue cheese dressing kind of melt in there, and you get that smokiness of the grill, because I think like the creaminess is going to really soften and add some more sweetness to this beer.
I'm trying to think of other than it's hard to think cold kinds of cuisines, and I know that at some point somebody may be listening to this in maybe a northern climate, say December, and looking for something that when they would want to drink this beer. I mean, it's fairly warm here, but the rest of the country.
Well, I want to throw out something that I'm not 100% confident in and see how you and the audience react to it, because there could be a savoriness to it. It could use a little tang or a little it needs something to cut through it. What about a great chilled gazpacho with some fresh jalapeno? Make sure that the jalapeno is really chopped up in there nicely, because I think the tomato, the acidity and that savoriness of that mix could play off of some of the roasty sweet aspects of the beer.
I like a cold soup idea. I do. It was going, when you said that, I was thinking more of what's the salad. It's mozzarella.
Oh, the caprese with the
caprese.
Tomato, right. Mozzarella, basil, mm-hmm. And then you do that nice balsamic drizzle.
And so just thinking about how basil acts the same sort of way that salt does too, and it kind of heightens those flavors. I think a basil component to this would help raise that the black licorice flavor just a tiny bit as well.
I think you might be onto something there, because then again that deep fruit sweetness that we were talking about with the beer, you're going to resonate with the balsamic glaze, that little drizzle on top, and then that tomato, the acidity of the tomato coming through should help cut some of the roasty notes of the beer as well. Really blatant, obvious pairings are going to get into the dessert realm, and we know how easily those can be accomplished with hazelnut. We talked a little bit about some simplicity with coconut, and there's a lot of porters that use coconut in their brewing cycle. Even peanut butters are going into porters now, and stouts as well. So you could play off of those things. Going down the road of non-food pairings like we did with the Pilsner, this can't be bad with a really quality cigar. Just get some tobacco notes in there and some mellow kind of earthy cedar and humidor notes. There's no way that could be a bad thing.
It's been so long since I've smoked a cigar that I'm out on the cigar pairings.
We got a nod from Joby, and I know he's a cigar smoker, especially on the golf course. So thank you for that little show of support, Joby.
I'm sorry I can't play along with that one.
That's all right. You know, there's an oakiness in here, too. And trying to get into that realm, what about something like a grilled portobello? You know, use it as a sandwich with some fresh, maybe sautéed buttered carrots and zucchini. I don't know. I just feel like there is enough of a enough body here that could hold up to something with a real strong, pungent flavor like that portobello mushroom cap.
Well, it's what's interesting is early on when we first started talking about this, I was actually considering the umami flavoring and working towards that sort of mushroom sort idea. It was really foggy and really distant. But thinking about some of the things that we've talked about as we've come up with the portobello and even going with a light blue cheese sprinkling on it, you know, combining some of these flavors, or I don't know, what do we want to call them? Dishes, these combining some of these together, I think you take kind of a buffet style, pick and choose as you're listening to this, write down the list and say, yeah, I want to put all of these things together.
All right, are you ready for this last one as we're starting to wrap up the segment?
I think so.
I'm going to toss it up in the air and I'm going to swing away. Just real basic vanilla bean ice cream or butter pecan ice cream in a big glass with this beer poured over the top.
Beer float.
Just a beer float. Butter pecan ice cream, I think, is going to add a sweeter, nuttier aspect. But you can't go wrong with a nice French vanilla. If you want to get crazy and go mocha style, do a scoop of coffee instead. But beer float, this beer would be amazing with a beer float.
I'm digging the cappuccino coffee-flavored ice cream. I think that would be nice.
I don't think there's an ice cream out there that would be bad with this, honestly, because my mind is reeling
sure.
Now. You get some fresh strawberry ice cream. You get the sweetness and the fruit going on, and it's like having chocolate-covered strawberry. Or why not pistachio? Again, going into that kind of greener, nuttier, kind of a shift, though, from what you'd expect with any other kind of nut-style ice cream. Pistachio or a Spumoni. So you get all those flavors in one glass. Now I want a big old beer float. We should do a beer float night, Joby, if you're listening in the back corner. Beer float night.
I think the pistachio is probably the tops on that I would like to do that one side by side as just the everyday after
everyday
meal.
Treat.
Everyday after meal treat. So we've hit a lot of things here with the porter. We're coming up pretty close to the timer blowing out. And one of the things that I meant to say early on, too, is that this beer, even though as it's warming up, is mine was holding its head. And just the amount of grain that was used in this beer, that tells you, you know, I mean, one, how much sweetness there was, how much alcohol there was. But a lot of times when you get into a higher alcohol, that can kill the head. But they use a lot of really quality grain in that to hold that head as it's been sitting here now
for
20 minutes.
And this beer came in at 8%. We didn't talk about that. But it's very smooth and it's really well balanced. That 8% is somewhat hidden. And you got, I'd say, be cautious with this beer.
Right. Very, very cautious. So as we wrap up here, make sure that you know, you follow us at hopheadsaid.com / pints and pairings. Join the conversations, # pints and pairings, # beer suggestioneers. I've been using it lately, you know, whether I was at the beach or
anything you've paired with a beer.
Anything.
I'd say pretty soon you're going to be out shopping and I'll see a pints and pairings with a beer in your hand and a new shirt.
If I'm drinking a beer and I'm shopping, now that, because that combines one of my favorite things in the world with one of my least favorite things in the world.
You got to meet in the middle.
and that would help me get right there. So, yeah, you may see me shopping with a beer. If I can find a store that lets me bring a beer in, I'm golden. There we are. So, you know, and then also a Facebook page. So whatever it is, www.facebook.com.
And keep watching that Facebook page because we got some cool stuff coming up in late August where we're going to actually be taking this show and our sister show, Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis, on the road down into San Diego to visit some really awesome breweries for the weekend.
Evidently, there's some beer in San Diego.
Who knew?
Right. I know. It's crazy. So, you know, as we close off, you know, one of the things I haven't said in the previous two is just I want to remind everyone here and listening abroad or wherever you happen to be, it's to eat, drink, and be happy.
And we'll see you at the next pour.
Cheers.
Pints and Pairings is brought to you in part by The Beer Cave, located at 231 Village Commons Boulevard in Camarillo, California.
If you prefer a cocktail or some vino, this neighborhood market also has a great selection of premium spirits and wine, along with an attached deli for a quick sandwich to go.
When you stop in, be sure to mention...